The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. I can tell you it's a hot one. Whew, I worked on my tan a little bit.
You been outside?
Oh yeah, I've been finished up yard work. Took a half a day from the office. Went home. Got the yard cut. I was so pleased. Oh, so pleased. I checked because I've been without Husky for a while. Poor Husky lost it. He sort of lost his way. He was unable to locate the boundaries that we have there set up for him to cut. So when he's confused, he doesn't do anything. So our friends over at TPE got him, and then they got his charging station because something seemed awry there. And so it's when I check on my app, and that's what I would do. I check on my app every day, and it would say error, current charging too high. But he wasn't even charging. So, I mean, it was something that was messed up. Today, I looked and it said empty battery needs charging. So it's like, good. We're back to just now charge him, bring him home, and put him to work. Because let me tell you, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, cutting my front yard manually, it's not what I want to do every week.
Is it a weekly cut? You gotta...
It should, honestly. Honestly, it should be cut twice a week.
Brutal.
It is so thick.
In this weather, brutal.
It is so thick that brutal. It should be cut twice a week. With Husky, he cut it every day.
I'd pull the whole thing out, put rocks in, Bill. That's my answer to
well,
that.
Well, that wouldn't be cheap.
You don't have to cut.
You know
cut
what,
rocks.
Though, Dan? That wouldn't be extremely cheap either.
What the
to pull the whole yard out and put rocks in? Yeah, that wouldn't be terrible.
Oh, that's a
cheap.
One-time expense, though, right? Because then once the rocks are there, you got to worry about.
Yeah, I just don't think I want rocks in my front yard.
Drought resistant. Drought
resistant. Yeah, you're right about that. But no, I've got
people aren't going rocks. But
I have.
But that's something I was just reading about with the 110 degree weather in Phoenix. That's I guess they've got like a month of
and they've got plenty of them to choose from.
Yeah,
there's a great selection out there.
A month of unbroken. But no, like the sort of like there's a
110 plus.
There's a push, in the western side of the United States and in places that get droughts more frequently than we do. To sort of move landscaping towards whether it's
absolutely
succulents or rocks or a different sort of drought-resistant bushes and things that don't require a ton of water. And that's more about conserving water.
It would make a lot of sense if you're in the desert.
Yeah, if every drop matters,
and it does in some places.
Yeah, and I think increasingly in places it's going to be important. But that is a serious yard you got there to maintain.
It is,
and without Husky,
I did get the self-propel working again because man, without it, I wouldn't have done it. I got that working. Then thank goodness I got a pool.
Now, is that another?
I'm telling you. I mean, that people go, you don't need a pool. I need a pool to do yard work.
The self-propel is in, like, you get one of the kids to push the lawnmower? Is that the?
No, the kids are grown. The kids have their own lawns and things.
That they borrow the lawnmower for?
They better not borrow this one. No. They borrowed the old one, and it, of course, was a bad shot. But anyway. That's what I was
Bill's gonna talk about yard, Bill's going to talk about yard work for 2 hours.
I could.
That's the show we've got going on.
No. That's not the case at all. I mean, we've got a few things. In case you weren't listening at the end of the show yesterday, big news that we are really, really excited about, and that is that the Auburn Networks, our stations here are once again going to be where you hear Auburn University Sports.
That's right. The Auburn Sports Network coming to Auburn Network. The Wings 94.3 and AU 100 will be the two stations here in the local area where you can hear Auburn University athletics, football and men's basketball. Starting this season, football and men's basketball on Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn Opelika area. Women's basketball and baseball will be on AU 100. Tiger Talk will also be on Wings 94.3. So, yeah, we're very excited.
Man, that's coming up soon. Coming up soon. Just think how it's going to be here on, at the end of every week. Thursday nights, you'll have Tiger Talk. Friday nights, and Tiger Talk's going to be on Wings 94.3. Friday nights, there'll be Auburn High football.
That's right. Our buddy Scott Bagwell and the rest of the gang on Auburn High School.
On Wings 94.3. Lee Scott football on AU 100. And then on Saturdays, Auburn University football on Wings.
That's right. AU football this season, and I believe it's the start of a five-year agreement is what we've disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've disclosed publicly. So,
right.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. If your business would like to advertise during Auburn University games, send an email to info@aunetwork.com. That's info@aunetwork.com if you're interested in advertising during Auburn University football games this fall on Wings 94.3 or throughout the season advertising on Auburn University athletics here on the Auburn Network station.
Yeah, and as Steve Witten in here yesterday talking about that, breaking the news. The thing to remember, you get bonuses here as well. If you're advertising during the game, you have a choice of running. There will be some other commercial opportunities available to you that you can run on whichever station feel fits your clientele's demographics.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we can tailor it to fit. Whatever,
pretty much got the needs of the business. Covered.
Yeah, between the different stations that we've got here, Auburn Network. We don't talk about AU 100 enough. Sort of a pop station,
right?
That we would encourage you to check out if you haven't. We're big, and of course our country station. You know, we love the folks over at Tiger Country and the work that that they're doing. So it's really exciting stuff. We're the flagship stations of Auburn Network. Will be carrying the Auburn University football games and Auburn University athletics this season and for many seasons to come. So it's exciting stuff. Wings 94.3, where you can hear Auburn University football games this fall. And Tiger Talk, yeah, first broadcast of Tiger Talk's less than a month
That's
away,
around
it feels
the corner.
Like. Yeah, so
yeah.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
And as we were talking yesterday, what's going to be cool is, I mean, we'll have much better access now to the Auburn Sports Network folks and Auburn athletes, coaches, and administrators.
Yeah, really, really excited to see where that leads. But we could have Andy Burcham on the show more often. Could have Brad Law.
I think Andy. Yeah, I think what Steve was saying is Andy and Brad will be regulars.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to those two more often, and yeah, the coaches as well, because it's we get media opportunities. We'll get a media opportunity with Hugh Freeze on Tuesday when he goes to SEC Media Days.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking forward to the possibility that some head coaches or even some assistants could be occasional visitors here on the drive now that Auburn Network will be broadcasting Auburn University athletics on Wings 94.3 and AU 100.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. And again, I mean, just don't blame us. We keep talking about it because it's an exciting thing.
Well, they do a great job, even when we weren't the affiliates.
Oh,
they
yeah.
would say, I mean, the job that I mean, Auburn fans have been treated over the decades to excellent radio coverage of the team
as
part of the official broadcast, whether it was Jim Fife or Rob Bramblett or Andy Burcham. Like, I mean, it's just been for decades, it's been top-notch audio content. And so, yeah, I would say check out those games, whenever you can. I imagine, Bill, that they'll be popular around the tailgates, before and after the games. You're going to want to be on Wings 94.3 for that. And then, of course, there are still the folks that listen in the stadium, right? They still got the
No doubt. I mean, you can get the specific little radios that just pick up the broadcast, but then other folks, have their – have their phones, have other ways of
listening. Got their Walkman, right? Got the handy...
I don't know many of those around.
You never know. You see the guy rocking the old Steve Bartman.
I think we still have one in the attic. The
Steve Bartman Walkman that, you know, they'll be walking.
We can get one of our buddies, get the big boombox.
I bet Ken's got a Walkman somewhere in that...
There probably is one.
Somewhere on the shelf.
Probably is one.
Up there in the office.
Yeah. So anyway, that's big news.
Really exciting. Yeah.
You know, tell how exciting it is. Bumped into Layla out in the hall. I mean, speaking of Wings 94.3. So, I mean,
The stars are out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is absolutely right. All right.
We're not that far away from high school football either, are we?
No, we're not.
I feel like that's going to be a couple of Fridays away.
We need to get the bag man on to talk about that.
We may need to. Next week, we got media days stuff, but in a couple of weeks, we will definitely talk with Scott Bagwell very soon. We will definitely talk with Scott Bagwell in detail about the upcoming season for Auburn High School.
Let's go ahead and let you know. First of all, we'd love to have you join us here on this Friday. Anything on your mind? I mean, media days coming up next week. We're getting closer, just a couple of weeks away from Big Cat Weekend. So recruiting, even though there's no in-person recruiting going on, there's still some news. Auburn right now appears to be the leader for one of the top defensive backs around, who will make an announcement tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about that. Baseball is back.
You think Auburn's in position to land a commitment in the next couple of days?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Baseball's back after the All-Star break. It is back this evening. We can take a look at that as this is the unofficial start of the second half. Everybody's about 55% in here on the season. But anything you'd like to talk about sports-wise, we'd love for you to join us. How can you do that? You can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, the sponsor of hour number one of the drive, is also the sponsor of our hotline, Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. ESPNAU.com is where you can listen live if you're not in the ESPN 106.7 listening area. And that's also where you're going to be able to catch our live coverage of SEC Media Days next week. 7 straight hours, all 4 days at Media Days. We're headed up there on Sunday. We'll be presenting. We got the Max Roundtable on the line and the drive all going from Radio Row next week, Monday through Thursday, right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com. You're not going to want to miss it. You never know who might drop by. Going to be fun. I think all 4 days, lots of cool stuff. Bill, we'll talk more about Media Days throughout the course of the show, because I want to know some of the questions you would ask these folks, since I'm headed up there representing the show.
I'll think about that.
Want to get to know what you would want to know from some of these folks.
All right, we'll go ahead and get to our first break. John, hold on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
This is Dan Peck 502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Friday.
Man, glad it's here.
I don't know when you fixed it, but you've got your iTunes up and running. That's what I'm listening to.
Cool.
Or your TuneIn app, so that's good news for me. I was going to see if you had any scuttlebutt on the reported Auburn transfer linebacker that wasn't on the roster anymore.
Oh, DeMario Tolan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it a little bit yesterday with Justin Ferguson. I mean, it's a personal situation. It's a sad situation, really, and I don't have all the details, but it's – it's something where, for him and his family, it's better for him to be with his family right now.
Is he leaving the team?
Yeah, he's not with it. He's not on the roster now. And I don't know if or when he would be returning. I do believe that if he wanted to return, he would be welcomed to return. It's just a time where football isn't the most important thing right now for him.
All right. And the I saw where one of the baseball players that entered a portal, I guess, this afternoon. I guess he was a reserve. I guess he's transferring for more playing time.
Well, that's and that's a pretty common thing. Yeah, this is a busy time as far as baseball is concerned in the transfer portal.
It's a fellow from New Jersey, right? This is Mike Bello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's
had some moments, but he really hasn't been able to get consistent playing.
Yeah,
time.
when you're not from terribly far away, you know, or when you're close by, like maybe you want to gut through it a little bit more. I can understand why a player might think. If they didn't factor much in the playing time picture this year, and it didn't seem like it was going to change next year, maybe you explore your options and see if there's somewhere you can get on the field.
And you got to look. I mean, with Bobby Pierce deciding to come back and Chris Stanfield coming back, that leaves one spot, and there are, you know, quite a few possibilities out there. So good luck to Mike wherever he goes. I like that lefty bat.
All right, I had another question for you. Next year when we add Oklahoma and Texas to the league. What do you think season ticket prices are going to do? They're going to remain the same, or you think they're going to? If they, I know they'll go up if they add the go to the 9-game.
Oh yeah,
schedule.
You know that.
I don't think they're going down.
Yeah, I don't think they're going down. That's a very safe assumption there. They haven't gone up for a few years. That's the other thing to keep in mind, John. I've been, you know, every year I sort of. Wonder as it's getting close to time to re-up for tickets what they've done, but they haven't gone up in a few years.
I think some of that has to do with what the team looks like on the field, because I don't know if you're raising ticket prices if this team underachieves badly on the field. You know, then you tell people, hey, it's going to be more expensive to see them next year. Yeah. Like, I think some of it's got to do with the momentum this team has coming out of this season.
Yeah, my two tickets cost me $1,500 a year, and it's nice to have them in hand, but I feel like at some point they'll probably outprice my purchasing ability.
Yep, our six cost a little more than that per, so I understand.
So, all right, well, I appreciate your time. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Appreciate it, John. 334-321-1390. Yeah, a little of this, a little of that going on. I wonder, I haven't checked the roster today, but I sort of glanced at it yesterday. I didn't notice anyone else not there. But I would imagine that's one of the things Hugh Freeze will be asked is everybody else expected to be back?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the most pressing question Hugh Freeze could be asked about a player's status could relate to the situation that popped up earlier this summer with Jarquez Hunter's name attached to it. I don't know what, if anything, Hugh Freeze can say about that.
He could say whether he's on the roster or not.
He could absolutely say.
Is he a part of the team? If currently a part of the team.
If whatever it was is completely in the past, Hugh Freeze could potentially offer insight into that and tell folks, hey, you know, nobody's in danger of
Jarquez Hunter is on the roster.
Right.
Is he, I mean, the question would be, is he a part of the team?
Has
anyone else not going to be out there for practice on the first day that
right.
he knows of.
Because that would be the other sign. That would be the other time when we learn mm-hmm. those sorts of things. And that, I believe, the first practice is before the first day of the fall semester.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Like no question about that. First day of fall semester is August 16th, and Auburn would be practicing probably about 2 weeks before
10 days, 10, 12 days before that. We think that first week of August, you know, sometime before the 4th or the 5th will be the first day of a fall practice. We'll probably learn more about that in the next couple of days mm-hmm. as well as Hugh Freeze goes to the podium on Tuesday along with the three players that he's decided to bring. But yeah, what if anything are you curious to learn from Hugh Freeze about this roster, Bill? Like, what do you think?
I mean, that's always a question that I ask regardless of whether there's someone I had in mind. I wonder, you know, is everybody expected to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, that might tell you might give you an answer about the junior college transfer too, and Bobby Jamison Travis, because we've heard that he had been working to try to get in. Do they expect everyone to get in? Is a good way to find out. Has anyone else decided? Well, they're either packing it in, calling it a career, maybe thinking about moving on, or, you know, something else going on. So that's always one that I like, that I like to either ask or hope someone does ask. I always like to find out what the coach has, and here I am air quoting, heard about the off-season workouts and, you know, what players have taken leadership roles. Because that usually gives you an idea of who some of the guys that they're going to be counting on.
Yeah, I mean, so I think some of my questions, when you rebuild the roster to the extent Hugh Freeze has rebuilt this roster, or built this roster, I should say, because it's his first time building it, so it's not really a rebuild for Hugh Freeze.
Half of it's his.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, half this roster has been added since he came in.
Yeah, and I guess that's my question, is sort of like, how do you decide on when you're dealing with that many new players? Like, you know, what's your,
man, that's got to be crazy.
What's your criteria? What are you looking for? And, you know, does it, and I guess specifically to narrow it down, in the case of Peyton Thorne and in the case of the three receivers that Auburn signed after the spring,
mm-hmm.
what was it about those four players that made you feel like we got to have them? They could add to this roster right now, because they could end up being four of the most important players on the team. Peyton Thorne, and we'll see if any of Shane Hooks, Jair Shorter, or Caleb Burton can seize a lot of playing time at wide receiver. But if they can, that's going to be a crucial difference. And I guess along that line, Bill, you know, your question about leadership, you know, we were saying I'd love to know how he decided on these three representatives. Like, what was it about?
That's a good question.
What was it about?
Yeah,
a lot of times
you don't have that question because you know why these guys are there.
Yeah, in this case, you know, with so many candidates that didn't seem to, I mean, guys that stood out for one reason or another, but in a big pool of worthy candidates, how Hugh Freeze decided these are the three guys, or if other people factored into the decision. Did the team have a say? Did the other coaches have a role in this? But yeah, I'd like to know how Hugh Freeze decided to bring Luke Deal, Cam Stutz, and Elijah McAllister.
Yeah, that's good. And if you have, all right, so, hey, you've got time to get your questions in. If there's something that you'd like Dan to ask there in Media Days of Hugh Freeze or any of the coaches.
Well, how about this? And any of the players, you know, is there, and we can maybe come back from break with this, but is there any questions that you think come to mind when you think Luke Deal, Cam Stutz, Elijah McAllister are going to be at the...
Well, obviously, Luke Deal's going to be asked about the quarterbacks. I mean, there's no question about that.
And I think for that...
And how's the summer been working out with Peyton Thorne? His initial, you know, his reaction, his, you know, what does he think of Peyton Thorne in the short time that he's had with him? And then Robbie Ashford and Holden Gerner, and where does he think they are as compared to this spring?
Yeah, and I guess along the same lines for Cam Stutz, right? It's how are the new offensive linemen fitting in? What can you tell us about Dylan and Gunner and Avery and... Muskrat, right, and the new offensive lineman, the new junior college, Isavian Miller. I mean, you got a bunch of new guys in the O line room. So that's going to be something. Cam Stutz, who's had he's had a lot of teammates as an offensive lineman, right? You think about it, Cam Stutz is Bill. He's class of 2018.
Yeah, you're right. There's been a lot of guys.
He's high school class.
A lot of big guys. Like
Cam Stutz was in the offensive line room when Jarrett Stidham was the quarterback for this team. Cam Stutz was there in 2018 as a true freshman when Jarrett Stidham was in his second year as Auburn quarterback. So Cam Stutz has been around, and
this is his sixth year?
Yes. Cam Stutz is a class of 18 high school signee. I mean, you look at who he signed with, and it's like the joke I made on the Observer pod. It's like going through a museum of recent I mean Smoke Monday and Christian Tutt and Joey Gatewood and Matthew Hill, like these names, like there's some of these are names that we haven't said on this show in a very long time.
I didn't realize. I'd forgotten that he was a sixth-year guy.
And so is Irvin, by the way. Jahlil Irvin and Cam Stutz, both class of 2018 high schoolers who are in their sixth year of college football this year on the Auburn offensive line. You know, the one thing about that, though, is there are a couple of spots in college athletics where you're not as afraid of having an older guy.
Oh, no. Offensive line is usually one where you prefer.
Line of scrimmage is maybe a place where a more experienced guy is going to have an advantage over a guy who was in high school last year.
All right, we'll get to
Cam Stutz was not in high school last year.
No, not by any means. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, if you've got any suggestions or thoughts about questions for any of the coaches or players from any team who'll be there at media days. Yeah, Dan's got his phone open, ready to take notes. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise?
What are the Braves up to this weekend?
Braves have got the White Sox, I believe.
Ooh.
I wonder. Think you might be trying to make a deal while you're playing them?
Yeah, I mean
there's a team that's got some players that they'll probably need to be moving.
Yeah, the trade deadline coming up before the end of the month in Major League Baseball. I mean, the expanded playoff has changed the trade deadline because now you've got more teams that are reluctant to sell, right? Because they think maybe we can make a run and make one of these wild card spots in an expanded postseason. But you also have teams that think maybe we can buy and go and get this. So I think it keeps hope alive for more teams that might otherwise decide, all right, we need to cut bait and look towards next year and beyond. I do think we will have a couple of teams that decide, hey, let's cut bait and see who wants rentals, who wants veterans that don't factor into our long-term plans.
Yeah, the thing that is the toughest to get or to give up is a younger player who has multiple years of control. I mean, you better get an awful lot for those guys.
Well, if you're going to trade a player like that, I think that the thinking needs to be we're going to be part of a very long rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time this player is a free agent, we still will be rebuilding. So there's talk that maybe Colorado would trade Ryan McMahon, and McMahon is under contract through 27. Right, so if you're Colorado and you're trading Ryan McMahon, isn't the thinking like we're rebuilding for the rest of the decade, and that's why
we're not going to be any good until 28 or beyond.
Exactly, and so I mean you're trading a player like that would be
that's a safe bet for the Rockies.
I think so too. I mean, and if they're operating under those parameters, a lot of the last couple of years probably don't make a ton of sense. But the
they don't,
and the standings would show that. So yeah, I think that the position of teams that decide we either need to be aggressive in unloading to contenders, or you also could have the teams that decide we need to be aggressive in acquiring players and making a push, like the Marlins. Wonder who else in the National League could take that stance of we need to be buyers because this is we could change our postseason outlook with the right moves.
I think the Giants are planning on being buyers again.
I think the Giants could add some bats and be a...
I think the Reds...
The Reds could add a starting pitcher, be a miss.
They're leading the division now. If they add a starting pitcher and get Hunter Green or Nick Lodolo back, they got a chance to
anyone
be
else,
good.
Anyone else buying in the Central? Brewers?
The Brewers probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Brewers probably would be looking.
That would be the other one. What about in the East? Anyone but the would the Phillies or the Mets try to add?
Phillies might.
Phillies or the Mets might. Maybe adding to think
I don't know about the Mets. Phillies may.
Mets are so far back.
Yeah,
it's far.
Yeah.
The Phillies are a team. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they think that if
I think they're a postseason team right now,
based on last year, I think the Phillies believe all they got to do is get in, and they can cause trouble, especially if they're in and they're healthy. They can cause trouble for other teams. So yeah, I think the Phillies would also make sense as a potential buyer, depending on what's out there to be bought.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Back to it, and John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you one thing. I was going to pass on some information to your Auburn area listeners if they're interested. Tim Tebow is going to be in Montgomery, I believe, August 3rd, speaking at a fundraiser. And the tickets on the low side are $30 a person. And I believe if you have a group of 10 or more, they take $10 off the ticket.
Okay.
I was just going to pass that along.
I heard a brief mention of that earlier. I didn't know when or where or anything. Go ahead.
It's going to be the Montgomery Impact, and they're raising money for scholarships for the Joe Sewell Award out of Elmore County to raise money for student athletes.
Okay, yeah, that's great. That's great. Yep. Well, thanks for passing that along. Because, like I said, I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't get the whole thing. So I didn't know nearly enough about it to say it. So thanks for the update, John.
Yes, sir.
All right, 334-321-1390. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
All right, man. Good. Glad it's Friday.
Dan, I got a question I'd like to see asked. When Georgia come up on him, I feel like the strongest thing was team chemistry. How's the team chemistry this year? That's what I'd like to see asked.
No, did you mention Georgia in there?
Yeah.
Or for
Georgia, yeah, the team chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
it's fast.
I
was trying to think of a smart answer.
I mean, they've retained a lot of sort of the pieces that they've imagined were going to. I mean, yes, they lost a lot to the NFL draft, but I think a lot of the pieces on that depth chart were guys that were getting ready to step in and start in 2024. They haven't. I mean, they did go to the portal and land a couple of players, but I mean, they're the favorites right now, and team chemistry is, I mean, until we have a reason to think the team chemistry is a problem, it's hard to assume it, because right now they look loaded at almost every spot.
Do you question something about their chemistry, Terry?
Stetson Bennett. I mean, I never was a Stetson Bennett fan, but the steadiness that he provided at quarterback, and the guy threw for 4,000 yards last year, so he was pretty productive, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. So, Auburn's never had anybody do that.
You lose a guy like that who is a locker room guy. So I'm just curious about that. And where do you guys stand on things? If Kirby Smart could pull off 3 years in a row, which nobody has done, nobody, would he give the NFL a shot?
Kirby just doesn't seem like an NFL coach to me.
I agree.
Yeah, recruiting is so much of what he's great at, and you lose. I mean, to be an NFL coach is to give up that aspect of the game, and to not, you know, to go to a league where recruiting matters a little bit in your relationship with your players, but it's not nearly as important. You know, you don't have nearly the same role in building the roster that you do in college football. Yeah, Kirby Smart to me doesn't seem like. Maybe he walks away. Maybe he walks away earlier than other coaches to just, you know, call it a career. But yeah, I've never really seen him as a guy who would go for the NFL. I could see him having a historic run at Georgia, and then when it's over, it's over.
I just speak from the next big challenge type thing, and guys, the Atlanta Falcons could be looking for a coach sometime in the future, and I just think he'd be a guy to be mentioned.
Oh, they could do worse. But I mean, I just wonder if Kirby has that, you know, burning desire to be an NFL guy. Yeah,
and I think the money's been sort of neutralized too compared to 20, 30 years ago as far as what a great NFL coach could make versus what a great college coach could make. I mean, that gap has narrowed as well. So yeah, I don't see. I mean, there are coaches in college football that I could see being lured to the NFL if they encounter a great deal of success. Most of them are more offensive, you know, visionary sort of types rather than guys who build a team with recruiting and defense and sort of the fundamentals. It doesn't seem like the NFL is I get the challenge thing, but I can see why Kirby Smart would want to stay in college.
Well, then now in NIL, even in play, it's even more of the reason to stay around. So, guys, have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Terry. You too. 334-321-1390. And Daniel is up next on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, gentlemen. How are we today?
Doing pretty good.
I hear you. Well, it's interesting. I'm a Georgia fan myself. I live here in town, though, so I've got a very interesting love-hate relationship with Auburn, because I just love it here. It is more than 10 times better than Athens if you actually compare the cities. But I just wanted to say the only way Georgia will fall is from within. I doubt we win the championship this coming year. Not that, you know, we can't, but I would be surprised if we do again. However, these culture issues, what we're talking about, the locker room issues, and, UGA recently sent a kind of a rebuttal to the AJC in a 9-page document really explaining actually what happened and,
yes,
you know,
demanding a retraction and an apology, basically.
Yes, and basically made the AGC look like fools And it was really surprising when they first came out, because you'd think the biggest really journalist company in the state, you'd think would be pro Georgia, but oddly enough, I guess that doesn't get enough reviews, so they had to switch it up. But
There's no question that though in the past it has been. Maybe not the recent past, but you know, in the back in the days of Mark Rick, it definitely was a big time Georgia paper.
Right. And so, but anyways, I still love Auburn. I still love being here rather than there. I want Auburn to win. I want Auburn to succeed. I love Bruce. I love Auburn. And so, this kind of past week has made me realize, with them hearing all the Harsin turmoil and everything, how bad it got here the past few years and months. It could always be worse with Northwestern situation. So,
oh, you're right.
It
about
could
that.
Always be worse. So, but anyways, thanks, guys.
All right, Daniel. Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. Bill and Dan here on the Friday Drive. If you've got a suggestion, some thoughts about something you'd like to have discussed or answered at SEC Media Days, which get underway Monday up in Nashville. But anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we're wide open as we get to our final break of hour number one here on the Friday Drive.
Hey, wonder if you could comment a little bit on the sanctions that Tennessee got versus LSU. I mean, it looked like Tennessee got hammered, and LSU had a slap on the wrist.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt got hammered. I mean, there's no question about that. With a six-year show cause, and even if he's hired, he can't coach for a year. But they didn't get any postseason sanctions. They were fined. Now, they were fined a chunk. I mean, it was over $8 million, I believe, they were fined. So that is the biggest thing. But, I mean, they found over 200 – there were over 200 violations. So, I mean, they should have been hit pretty hard. But I think it tells you now the NCAA is trying to penalize the people who are involved and not so much penalize the future. I mean, that's the thing. It used to be the biggest problem is by the time the NCAA got around to penalizing a team – anyone who'd been involved was usually gone, and it was going to penalize the coaches and players that didn't have anything to do with that.
Well, what was Will Wade's show called?
I don't think it's 6 years. Wasn't it like a 2 year show cause? I'm thinking.
I don't remember the LSU penalties off the top of my head. Let me see if I can pull them up.
Yeah, we'll see if we can find that.
Okay.
I would think, and I wonder. That's an interesting question. Who's going to – I would think Will Wade will be coaching. Will Wade is coaching.
Will Wade is
a head coach right now.
Will Wade is the current head coach of McNeese State. He received a 2-year show
That's
cause.
That's what I thought, 2-year.
10-game suspension for multiple rules violations that came with his time at LSU.
Now, the other thing that both Tennessee and LSU had to do was vacate wins. And again, vacating wins is about the most hollow penalty that you can have, because all that is, the other team doesn't get to claim wins. You don't get to claim wins, but you don't get charged losses either. It's not like a forfeit. It's as if those games weren't played.
So I wonder. I mean, I can't really find, you know, explanation as to why the penalties were all that different. I mean, you look at LSU, and they did self-impose, and they also it was basketball and football. You know what the NCAA was deciding on, sort of different kinds of violations. But in both cases, I think it was more about penalizing the actors involved that were making the decisions rather than the future of both programs. I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt were still the coach at Tennessee today, or if Will Wade were still the coach at LSU today,
would be no postseason.
Yeah, I think the NCAA would have launched those programs into space.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, because those schools had been proactive in making coaching changes once this stuff had become public. I mean, undeniable. You know, once it was out there. And I know Will Wade, it seemed like it took a long time between this stuff becoming public and Will Wade losing his job.
Well,
LSU.
Part of that had to do with LSU wasn't trying to get rid of Will Wade the way Tennessee was trying to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah. Okay, just want to get your comments on it. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, thanks for the call, Tommy. Yeah, I mean, both of them, when you look at it, I mean, now, an $8 million fine, that's going to help the coffers of the NCAA. And that's something that'll be felt, obviously, by Tennessee. But the fact that they only are they're two scholarships short this year, and then no more scholarship sanctions at all. They'd self-imposed, I think, what, 16 scholarships over a couple of years. So they have to just be two scholarships short this year, which a lot of teams are going to be anyway. And then they can go right back to 85 after that. So there's nothing that really affects them in the future except they're hitting the pocketbook.
And I think the number of, if you get into the actual number of incidents,
yeah,
that what was going on with Tennessee was maybe more the number was maybe larger than what LSU was even accused of, because I'm reading from the AP report here. The NCAA found that the paid unofficial visit scheme was used consistently by the football program over 2 years. It involved at least a dozen members of the football staff. Resulting violations included, do you know the numbers I'm about to cite here, Bill?
No.
How about this?
Haven't heard them all.
The resulting violations included at least 110 impermissible hotel room nights, 180 impermissible meals, 72 instances of providing impermissible entertainment or other benefits, 41 impermissible recruiting contacts.
Yeah, that's more than basketball.
37 yes. instances of providing impermissible game day parking, 14 times in which gear was impermissibly provided to prospects, according to the report. The NCAA found that Pruitt or his wife were involved in impermissible payments to two prospects who later signed with Tennessee. The mother of one player received $6,000 from Jeremy Pruitt's wife as a down payment on a car. After the mother's son signed with Tennessee, Pruitt's wife paid the woman $500 each month for car payments at least 25 times. The wow. mother also received $1,600 from Pruitt's wife for a deposit on a rental home in the Knoxville area. The mother of a second prospect told Pruitt,
I wonder, were they using separate accounts? Because, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I guess she was the one that was either writing the checks
well,
or sending
I'm
them.
A huge, you know, as I like to talk about, I'm a huge fan of the HBO show The Wire. And there are ways to get around, you know what I mean? I feel like burner phones were maybe involved, and I mean, there's a whole thing. The mother of a second prospect told Pruitt she needed a medical procedure she could not pay for. The NCAA found that Pruitt gave her an envelope with $3,000 in medical bills, $3,000 for medical bills. Records obtained by Tennessee show the prospect's mother deposited $5,100 in her bank account 2 days after a similar amount was withdrawn from the head coach's bank account. Pruitt also gave the woman cash to pay for gas. Both players competed in 23 games while ineligible, according to the NCAA.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons they had to vacate wins.
When the NCAA says
they only won 16 games in Pruitt's 3 years.
He and other members, I'm quoting the NCAA, during the head coach's tenure, he and other members of his staff acted with general and blatant disregard
yep.
for rules compliance, unquote.
Where did he get the idea that he could just do that? I mean, that is
now,
crazy.
Are you saying that knowing where else he's coached in his career?
Oh, of course not. All right, we'll get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done. Love for you to join in the final hour here on the Friday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome in, hour number two of the Friday Drive, final hour of the week, final hour. Dan, maybe back next Friday? Is that right? You plan on being back next Friday?
Yeah, I'll be in the house. Friday? So what we're going to have to decide on Thursday is, do we stick around Radio Row as it empties?
Yeah, or see, doesn't everything wrap up around lunchtime?
Yeah, yeah.
You could probably be back here. Of course, the thing is, Jacob's got the right. show from 2 to 4.
I'm wondering if
I was going to say, you could be back here about show start time if you left when everything wrapped up.
But you
don't want to leave Joseph.
I believe, since we're riding in one car, I don't want to make. And Joseph, maybe we leave early Thursday and we're back in time for On the Line. Maybe we're both calling in from the road.
You could do that. That would be fine.
You got Justin Ferguson here.
I feel bad about saying, yeah, you got to stay there till 6 o'clock when they may want to come shut you down and get you the heck out.
You know, there is one thing I was thinking about doing though, and I think I talked about this off the air. And this is real movie nerd nonsense. I'm gonna have to pitch this to Jacob too.
There he is, right outside the one window, hollering at the window.
So one of the limited edition 70 millimeter IMAX screens in the country. There are only about 10 or 12 actual 70 millimeter IMAX theaters in America that will be showing Oppenheimer, which was filmed in 70 millimeter IMAX. That Thursday, the day that we're leaving, that's the night Oppenheimer comes out. I mean, I'm going to be in Nashville.
Is there one there?
There is a 70 millimeter.
Well, then you're probably not in any big hurry to get back.
There's a 70 millimeter IMAX in Nashville that will have Oppenheimer on opening day. So I may have to talk to Jacob about what we're going to do, or we hit the road early or late.
Or Jacob just leaves when he gets done, and you just got to find your way back.
I'm taking a hound. I'm taking a hound back to Auburn.
There's a song I haven't heard in a long time. Might hear that one.
He left me in Nashville to
find your way back
because I wanted to watch Oppenheimer.
That would go on Tiger Country. It sounds like he left me in Nashville.
He's an hour late.
He left me in Nashville.
What was it? He's an hour slow and I'm a minute fast or something.
Yeah, I like that one.
I do like that one. That's a good one. We'll work on it.
Yeah. Now where were we? I'm completely lost.
Someone's on the phone, right?
Yeah, we do have it. Let's
inexplicably.
Let you know. Yes. That is the – Layla can't get out.
Buzzer out.
Hold on. We're opening the door for you. There. You're good to go. Bye.
It should work out.
The music should play every time she walks by. All right. 334-321-1390. What was that? What the heck was that?
That was a Spanish flea. That was the little Spanish flea.
Yeah. I was going, that's not Layla.
That was not Layla.
No kidding.
That was a
little different. Herb Alpert, Eric Clapton. Yeah, you know, wait till the two come together.
Herb Alpert.
Those are combos. Those are duets you've never heard.
And it's Tijuana Brass, right?
That's exactly right.
That's right.
We have a caller for some amazing reason who is hanging on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. We'll tell you about how you can join Tommy right after we get to the phone. Hey, Tommy, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, sorry to call you back, but after you were reading the details of the Tennessee penalties, how do they get that? They don't have subpoena power for bank accounts and personal info. How do they know about it? Remember,
that's one of the things Pruitt is suing Tennessee over, is they basically did their own investigation trying to find whatever they could so they could get rid of him.
So Tennessee turned a lot of that over.
Tennessee found his whatever they could from the university side and turned it over to the NCAA.
Well, I guess it's a little unusual situation there.
Oh, very.
They were trying to push it. But, I just wonder, with like that mom talking about the money she got for medical procedure and all that stuff, I mean, that had to be volunteered.
Oh, yes.
And so my question, my curiosity has always been, why doesn't that happen to the school to the west of us? Why doesn't somebody who's miffed about the way they were treated spilled beans?
It would almost take a situation sort of like what Tennessee had. Like if whoever replaces Nick Saban does a terrible job, but he's got a long term deal, and he doesn't fall walking upstairs or something like that, then there may be an effort to pull out every skeleton they can find. Well, not everyone, but enough.
All right, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Tommy. 334-321-1390. Now, that is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. That's one of the ways you can get through to us.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's Also, where you can listen live, ESPNAU.com. If you're not in the ESPN 106.7 listening area, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage next week of SEC Media Days right here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, all week long. You're not going to want to miss it live from Radio Row in Nashville.
We're in hour number two of the Friday Drive, and the second hour is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We've talked about a few things here this afternoon.
It is. I mean, it's a good question, though, by Tommy there about how, and I guess I don't know the particulars of what a school, in the process of an investigation of its employees, what they can obtain access to. I mean, there are references to bank records and things in Tennessee's investigation. I don't know how much of that would have been volunteered and how much of that Tennessee as a state university investigating its employees, you know, has the, because there is, I mean, you do get into there, it can get into the criminal element if you remember that these are, if you start looking at them as bribes or anything like that for college employees and things like that, like it can veer into sort of an uncomfortable territory. But the Tennessee investigation was, I mean, it's and the entire
it's taken a while to get this.
And there is, yeah, the public infractions decision is available on the NCAA's website, and you can read the whole thing, which goes into pretty interesting detail about how they came to the decision and what Tennessee is accused of.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. We're going to get back to it. And a special guest joining us here on the hotline today, and that is Hall of Fame coach Spence McCracken calling in. Spence, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Listen, I heard your show yesterday, and you were talking about brothers. And I can't believe that you did not even think of these two.
No, I probably thought of them. I just didn't get a chance to get all the names in.
Yeah, I know. Jimmy and Danny
Spigner. Yeah, it's crazy. I almost mentioned them yesterday, but I didn't figure Dan knew who they were or Justin knew who they were.
A little before my time.
Yep.
Well, but I'll tell y'all something. Those two guys, Mike Kelly and Tommy Traylor and myself, we all end up going to Auburn. And Sam Gellerstedt, who was on that team,
went to Alabama, right?
And Lanier won the state championship. That was the first year that they had the state playoffs, mighty good. Jimmy Spigner's funeral was last month.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and he was my roommate. I'll tell you a quick story. Bob Hope came to one of our games. At home when we played Georgia Tech in 1970.
Right, it was homecoming, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, and Jimmy, you know, Jimmy, I love Jimmy to death, but the game was over and we won and we were celebrating, and Jimmy went to the bathroom, take a number one, and he got back there, and Bob Hope was back there.
Wow.
And he said out loud where everybody could hear it, he said, "Oh, my gosh, everybody come here. Bob Hope is taking a
yeah,
L-E-A-K.
Yeah. You can say leak. Yeah, that's fine. Oh.
No shirt and all of them. They started laughing. We were crying. We were laughing so hard.
Oh. Yeah, well. That's
anyway.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, no forgetting that one, Coach.
Never got that up close and personal with Bob Hope. No, no.
I know. Well, listen, it was good seeing you last week, Peggy. Really enjoyed meeting you at Jersey Mike's, and y'all have a great day, War Eagle. I can't wait for the season.
Oh yeah, man, stay cool, Spence.
Yeah, don't be a stranger, okay, Coach. Always great hearing from you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Spence McCracken joined us. That's a funny story. Yeah, I thought about the Spigners yesterday. I mean, there have been quite a few sets of brothers. We were talking
What era are we talking about here with the Spigners?
Late 60s, early 70s. Right. And it seemed like there were quite a few back in that time, in the 60s and into the 70s. There were a good amount of brothers that came. But, yeah, they were there on the on the 72 team there for the punt, Bama punt. game. But I thought about them yesterday as Justin. And what we were talking about, in case you weren't listening yesterday, Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. And he had he'd written about brothers because, I mean, there are some brothers on this team. Of course, the latest commitment for Auburn, Malik Blockton, is the younger brother of Marcus Harris. And it sort of continues a long tradition of siblings here on, you know, with Auburn football.
You know, I forget if Justin mentioned the Edens brothers too, who were two of my
favorites.
Yeah,
there you
right?
go.
I mean Bart I knew. Knew Bart pretty well, a younger brother, the offensive lineman. I had a class or two with Bart, and then of course Brett was there on the defensive line.
And then their dad, of course, the big cat from Brett, Liston, back a little earlier.
Montgomery guys, right?
Yeah, of course, Liston was from Walnut Hill. And
no forgetting that.
Well, that's because they were in our conference.
I love that.
Growing up in South Alabama, the Escambia River Conference, as he moved into Walnut Hill, moving up into the big town of Walnut Hill, was just south of Atmore, in case folks aren't familiar there with Southwest Alabama. 334-321-1390, and Robert is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
I was listening to Spence telling stories, and I've got a story on Spence. When I lived in Montgomery for 1 year, and my son and his son were the same age,
uh-huh.
and we played each other in T-ball. Now, our kids, coached by me, were playing in the dirt, and you know, we were okay and all that kind of stuff. And when they were warming up, Spence's T-ball team were doing just like high school teams. They were turning double plays. They were running, you know, throwing the ball to first base. We had people that couldn't even catch the ball on first base. And his kids looked like high school players because he was such a coach.
Yeah, I was going to say that's and jokingly but seriously, I mean, yeah, Spence is nothing but a coach. I mean, he's a great coach.
Well, and another thing, too, I used to get coaches' tickets, and a lot of times I would sit next to Spence in the end zone where the coaches' tickets are, and he's such a great guy. He's so sweet and personable, just a really good guy.
Oh, no question, a great guy, no doubt about it.
But anyway, I just had it. I mean, they look like all-stars playing T-ball, and we were playing T-ball.
I'm glad we didn't play those. I mean, when mine were playing T-ball and I was trying to help, no, it's like you'd hope they'd have an idea, or they wouldn't either get picking too many weeds or something in the outfield, or fight each other
right.
if a ball rolled to them, you know, that kind of thing. I can remember the first game that I coached in T-ball. We had one youngster who we said, now, you know, when you get to first base, look at the coach. And I was coaching third, got there, and the runner was at first base, and the next kid hit the ball, and I said, all right, come to third. And the little kid ran straight across the mound right to me at third base. And it's like, you've got to be literal. Make sure you let them know exactly, because they're going to do what you tell them if they're paying attention.
We had a kid that would run to third base after he hit the ball. Every time I said, look. Go this way. And I would point to it, and he would just go to third. And then we had another kid that all he would do was to do a head first slide. Into whatever base.
Oh, you got some kids that just love sliding.
That kid that was running to third, I think what you needed to do was just get him maybe batting the other way. You know, maybe he was, you know, he's batting.
Yeah, switch hit him.
Yeah, switch
bat him lefty.
But you know what? That's when the games were fun.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
When they get up to high school, it's okay. But it's more serious, and it's not as much fun.
Hey, the thing is, even when they're playing T-ball, they want to know the score. And if they don't, I mean, if they don't know it, they want to know it.
Well, my second son, he was up to, I want to know what the score was, who won. He would get on to people if they didn't run the right way. He was so serious. I said, look, don't worry about this. Just have a good time. But didn't matter to him. But there's more to it than just having fun and playing the games.
Oh, sure. Great
right,
stuff,
appreciate
Robert.
You guys.
It's good hearing from you.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break here in hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join in, and we've got calls holding. We'll be right back with more here on the Friday Drive.
This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica Venturi with tips for a safer
city. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday. What about the Ohio? Oh yeah. I was going to say, they didn't do any Herb Alpert songs. They were just talking album covers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got a couple for you. I bet our next caller could get in on this conversation too. We're talking about interesting album covers during the break. Boy, that has a lot to do with what we've been talking about on the air. Yellowhammer, how you doing today, man?
Oh, hey, howdy. I just got a quick one about Brothers. I think I remember this correctly. That era of late 60s, early 70s, there was a man who did Auburn's sort of their cartoonish cover.
I knew you were going to go that way. Yes, that was Phil Neal and his two sons, Phil and was it Rick?
Yeah, Rick Neal, right?
Yeah, Phil Neal did the cartoon Aubie on the covers of Auburn's programs for years. And
they're
as a matter
really
of fact,
good,
yeah,
thought.
And then when I was in the ticket office in 89, we got him to do the special ticket, the art for the special ticket that we used for Alabama's first ever visit to Jordan-Hare.
Oh, yeah, okay. I had a stub. Maybe I don't anymore, but I remember that game big.
Yeah, it was Aubie rolling out the red carpet. But one of the things that Mr. Beckwith made sure was that it wasn't crimson. It was red, but it wasn't going to be crimson.
Right, that would be terrible. I was in Atlanta, see, and some guy said, "Oh, Alabama's going to kill Auburn. They'll beat them by 30 points." And I said, "If anybody wins, Auburn will win by 30 points." And we did, but he wormed his way out of it. But anyway, I let him get away with it.
Yeah, the Neals linebackers, both of them. Yeah, again, another one of the outstanding sets of brothers that have come through Auburn. Auburn
one
football.
Or two of them was in that 72 block punt thing, I believe.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was the older, wasn't it? I can't remember. Yep.
But, yeah, well, anyway, that's a little cool blast from the past. Thanks. See you guys.
Appreciate the call. Yellowhammer, 334-321-1390. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, more recently, you mentioned the Eddins.
More recent brothers?
Uh-huh.
More recent? Well, I mean, you've had the last couple of years, you've had the teammates where, I mean, you had the more established older brother and then the younger brother sort of following in the footsteps. The Browns, right, with Derek and Cam.
Right.
The Woodens. Right, with Colby and
Caleb.
You've had the Irons brothers, who were both all conference, mentioned by
David and Kenny.
David and Kenny were both mentioned by Justin in the article. Both part of the big part of the 05 and 06 teams. So a couple of more recent pairs of brothers you've had on the team.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Terry or Tommy that signed the twins? Auburn had a couple of twin offensive linemen that didn't last very long, but yeah. All right, 3-3-4-3-2.
Other schools have had those situations.
Uh-huh. Right?
You've had other schools where very prominent, you know, pair of twins are coming in. I don't know if you've had that as much at Auburn. You know, I guess this is also, I mean, this gets to basketball, but remember, Jared Harper's younger brother is on the on the Auburn basketball team right now.
Jalen.
Yeah.
Yeah. 334-321-1390. And back to the phone, and John. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you doing? It's been a while. Been a long time.
It's been a long time. It sure has. I was just going to say hello, and I was on the way home. I heard the news about Tennessee getting probation from things that the former coach had done there. Do y'all have a lot of detail about that?
Yeah, so the NCAA, you know, put out its and they have an official sort of way of describing it, but it's they put out a report earlier today explaining the infractions that occurred under Jeremy Pruitt's watch at Tennessee.
And there are a lot, over 200 total infractions.
Over 200 total infractions. And 18,
I believe, are the level one, which are the most serious.
An 80-page report released by the NCAA earlier today, getting into it and talking about the the allegations, including stuff that personally involved Jeremy Pruitt and his wife providing illegal benefits to players. And yeah, it does seem like the NCAA, and I wonder if you think this is true, Bill, because you've seen the NCAA go after teams for decades. Does it seem like they are less interested in punishing the future and more interested in making sure the people that were actually involved, as opposed to maybe in the past when it was send a message to the program, even if they've cleaned house and fired the people that maybe were making these decisions? Like now
yes,
it feels
and,
much
and
more.
Yes, and something, that's something that for years schools and, of course, their fan bases had been very upset with. It. By the time you got around to punishing a school, most of the folks involved were gone, and it was punishing the players that were coming in. A lot of times there was that dark cloud hanging over the head of the program, and it would be difficult to try to recruit because you didn't know what was going to happen down the road. Now, at least, it is not affecting the teams or their next few years. Tennessee doesn't have any postseason ban. They only have to limit themselves to scholarships this year, then no more scholarship. In the past, it would be multiple scholarship reductions for a few years, starting with that penalty, and then postseason bans.
And it sounds like the NCAA, because there's a sort of a curious note from the NCAA in the AP article, Bill, which points out that it was a difficult decision as far as whether or not to give Tennessee a postseason ban of any kind, because I think the recommended penalties from the infraction process committee would have suggested more strict postseason mm-hmm. penalties for Tennessee. The quote from the NCAA: "The panel encountered a challenging set of circumstances related to prescribing penalties in this case. The panel urges the infractions process committee and the membership to clearly define its philosophy regarding penalties, which extends beyond postseason bans, and memorialize that philosophy in an updated set of penalty guidelines." So they were almost saying the penalty guidelines you've given us don't really seem to fit the punishment or the stated goals, and maybe need to be updated in light of some of these penalties. But yeah, it's serious stuff, but it's more serious for the people, I think, that were involved rather than the future of Tennessee athletics.
Yeah, 6-year show cause for Jeremy Pruitt, and even if he is hired at a school, he cannot coach for 1 year after he's hired. So Jeremy Pruitt and 3 staffers also hit with show causes as well.
Including Shelton Felton, who I believe was talked about as
a possible assistant here.
Yeah, I mean, he was looked at as a possible candidate to join the staff for Brian Harsin.
Well, I just, I hated it with Josh Heupel. I think seems like a pretty good guy, but maybe it won't affect them too bad.
Yeah, it really shouldn't. They already self-imposed, I think, 8 scholarships a year over the last 2 years. This year they get to go to just a 2 scholarship limitation, so they actually gain some scholarships. Then they don't lose any more. So now they can go out and recruit and say, look, this doesn't affect any of you guys that are going to be coming in. So it's good news for the present and future of Tennessee football.
Well, that's good. That's good, Bill. Well, hey, before I let you go, me and my brother have been cleaning out stuff, and he had a bunch of old newspapers that he was fixing to throw away, and this was out of my parents' place.
Uh-huh.
So, long story short, I started looking at them. I said, golly, what years are these? I started thumbing through them, and wow. I'm going to bring them to you and Dan, and I'm going to do this probably around August when everything's kind of dead, right before season. And maybe you could read some snippets through there from 1982.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be fun. That'd be great. Please do.
It's some really neat things in there, the articles that were written about future great running backs who were – just freshmen at the time that really nobody even knew about. But I'm going to drop them by the studio. Now, I just want to make sure, what location are y'all at?
We're here on North Dean Road. If you're between Opelika Road and University, going to be, depends on if you're heading north or south there. If you're headed.
Okay. If I'm going toward the Johnny Bruce goes.
Yes. It's going to be on your right.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, guys, hey, I didn't really have a lot to say today, but I'm going to definitely bring these old clippings to y'all. I think y'all will find them.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
All right, guys. War Eagle, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Cool stuff.
And as a matter of fact, he just spoke of a place I've got to check on here momentarily. So yeah, appreciate the call. That's some cool stuff. I'm really interested to read some of the previews. That was probably a pretty good signing class. It was indeed. After Coach Dye's first year. 334-321-1390. Heading into the final half hour. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
To or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Friday afternoon. It's been a fun Friday. I mean, it's good. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten a few calls here this afternoon, various different things.
You never know what's on folks' minds. So, yeah, exciting stuff as we get ready for Media Days next week.
I feel like there's some excitement about really excitement and anticipation for football. More than we felt for the last couple of years.
Well, I think last year there was curiosity.
Well, last year you're like, what? What happened?
Apprehension?
There was like, yeah, what really did happen last year when I'm talking in 2021? Because people weren't sure, were the first eight games what really we should have been thinking about? What about the end of the season and the off season? Yeah. Is that really what this team's going to all be about? Or is it just a situation where there needed to be acclimation and people needed to get used to being in a different part of the country? Or was it really not being as interested in recruiting? I mean, we just didn't really know.
It was like early in the space program, right? Like last season was like, yeah, we're going to throw this rocket up there, see what happens.
Hope they don't die.
Yeah, and it, you know, maybe it's not going to fly after all. And, yep. And it in fact crashed. But no, you're right. I think there is between the remade roster and the fact that it's a new coaching staff, and also I think the retention of Cadillac Williams helps.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the
and
way
Zach.
Because, yeah, and Zach Etheridge. But the way last season ended, right, with Cadillac sort of reinvigorating things and the mood having noticeably changed from the end of the Harsin era, you know, through the rest of the season. I think it's and you know what I think is remarkable is I think when you have a situation where fans are excited and expecting a coach to be one person and it ends up not being that guy, like for Auburn in the case of Lane Kiffin, being the target, you know, the favorite, I think, in the minds of a lot of people to eventually get this job, the fact that that hasn't overshadowed the offseason, like it hasn't been Hugh Freeze, but there, you know, all those fans that want it, like it has not felt like, you know, a consolation prize.
Yeah,
coaching
now
Auburn.
Let's say now. Honestly, I mean, it's not as though, and I don't think it anywhere. You're going to have 100% of the fan base is all behind. I mean, there's still some that are waiting and going to be much more cautious, and you'll have some others that are sort of pulling for something bad to happen.
Certainly, and there are people
because
that
their guy isn't here.
I think there are folks who think, there maybe are folks who are rooting against Hugh Freeze to have success because of things that have happened in the past. Maybe, yeah, like you said, maybe there are folks rooting against Hugh Freeze because they wanted someone else to be the coach, not necessarily because of Hugh Freeze. But I think I agree with your statement about the excitement that seems to be building around this as we get closer to football season and people get a chance to see what this team looks like on the field.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Back to the phone. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, you guys talk about the big news yet?
We have talked about the big news, Spectre. Did you hear the announcement?
I did.
It's been exciting. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. We talked about
we're
some
just
more.
Over 24 hours from when the announcement came.
Yeah, Big Boss came in yesterday and informed everybody that we will have the rights to Auburn University Athletics right here on Auburn Network. Wings 94.3 and AU 100 will be broadcasting football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, and Tiger Talk will all be right here on the Auburn Network family of stations, Wings 94.3 and AU 100.
Okay, I got one question. In the past, I've been able to pick up Auburn on different affiliates. So you're saying that's not going to happen anymore?
Well, so in the Auburn-Opelika area,
right?
The affiliate you will use is Wings 94.3. Like when you're out of the area, like there are other
there'll be other
local markets.
Many affiliates.
We'll have affiliates, okay. But in the Auburn-Opelika area, if you want to listen on the radio,
Wings Auburn is the local affiliate.
Wings 94.3 is going to be how you do it.
Okay, is there going to be any conflict between the high school games on Friday night?
No, because I mean Auburn doesn't play on Friday. Tiger Talk is Thursday night, and football games are the Auburn University games are Saturday. Those, as well as Auburn High, will be on Wings. Lee Scott football is going to be over on AU 100.
The only conflict I could envision would be if there was Friday night men's basketball for Auburn late in the. In the high school.
Early in the basketball season, late in the high school season.
An early Friday night game for the men's basketball team could maybe impact Auburn High School football if they were both on a Friday night. I think in that case, we would probably move one of the games to AU 100 in that situation. But I imagine very few conflicts with the Auburn High School games on Friday night.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I thought maybe y'all was going to also add kind of convert with the on the line, Bill, you're fixing to retire, right?
From the university.
Yeah, so that's.
I still should be able to talk. Hopefully.
Yeah, don't be trying to Johnny Carson Bill out the door here, Spectre.
No, I'm giving Bill more airtime is what I'm trying to do.
Oh. Giving me more time.
No, we're not trying to take over the on the line time slot. We love those guys do a great job from 2 to 4 and
well, I was thinking maybe a 3-hour program instead of a 2-hour program for you guys.
Ooh, well, you know what? Let's throw that one out there for leadership and for ownership.
Yeah, and you can come in and be my agent. We'll negotiate.
We've got an hourly rate.
It's not going to be three for the price of two. I can tell you that.
Tear that. Yeah, we're not doing a twofer here, Spectre.
Yeah. Take 2 hours, get one free.
We're thrilled about this Auburn Auburn University athletic stuff, though. I mean, to have the rights to that, and we'll have Andy and Brad more often on the show. Coaches will be on the show.
Yeah, we spoke to it a little bit yesterday, and didn't want to get into it too much. But I mean, seriously, I understood when in the past we'd try to get Bruce Pearl or the head football coach or some players at times, and you know, you understand if you're not the local affiliate, the local affiliate's not going to be thrilled with a head coach going on another station and talking. I mean, absolutely. It's different. You know, sure, we could go cover press conferences. We could ask questions, get answers, and use that audio. But there was really not much opportunity of getting one-on-ones or anything like that. So it's very understandable, but it's great now to have the, shoe on our foot, if you will.
Well, Dan, I want to ask one question to you. Now, I heard earlier that you might see Oppenheimer next week in Nashville.
I was thinking about it. Yeah, I was thinking about going to if I'm in Nashville, they have one of the few theaters that are sort of equipped to broadcast Oppenheimer in the top possible quality there in Nashville. And I was thinking about checking the movie out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you seen Prime? I think it's Amazon Prime. The Man in the High Castle.
You know, I've seen episodes of the first season of the High Castle, like sort of the alternate history World War II show on Amazon. I've not seen it all the way through, but I've seen episodes of the first season of it, and I know people that were really high on it when it first got started.
Yeah, that'd be something I'd recommend for you to see.
Interesting.
You got
okay.
A chance to, I think it's like 4 seasons, but if you check that out before you see Oppenheimer, but. Anyway, Bill, I was wanting to get you some more airtime.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I like on the line. I mean, sometimes in the second hour they seem to struggle sometimes. So maybe you cut them back to 1 hour and extend the drive to 3 hours.
Well, football season will be here pretty
soon. We're not taking any of the airtime away from those guys, Specter.
Yeah. I know.
We can relate.
We appreciate it, but no, they do an outstanding job on the line, and we're really thrilled about the about having the Auburn University athletics here on Auburn Network this fall. Great stuff, Specter.
Back to the phone we go, and Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Thank God it's Friday.
Really? Always.
When is the Major League Baseball trade deadline?
August 1st. It goes through, I think, 4 p.m. Eastern time, August 1st. So we've got a little over 2 weeks.
You were talking about some of the sellers and buyers earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a guy on ESPN talking that the Padres may be a seller.
Yeah, it's a question. You know, they've spent so much money. They have such a big payroll. They have some real stars. I think there's been a lot of speculation here over the last day or two that teams are approaching the Padres, seeing if they would be interested in dealing Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And wouldn't that be a nice bookie?
Ooh, you're not, man. He'd be a great pickup for anybody. He is a great player. He's a great teammate.
The Padres are they're similar to the Mets in that even if they decide they're not going to win this year, they've got too much invested in the future to just wrap things up and say, all right,
they're younger, I think, than the Mets.
But if the Padres decided, hey, Soto, Josh Hader, Blake Snell, potentially.
Sure.
I think those are guys where...
Snell's been pitching great.
If the Padres moved those players to contenders, they could get
a
significant amount.
If their farm system is depleted in any area, they could fill that plus.
And it probably is after the trades they made to go get...
Right.
After the way they traded to go get Hader and the way they traded to go get Soto,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they need to replenish the farm system, and trades of those three players could do it while still leaving them in a position to compete next year.
Well, I don't think the Braves are going to spend that kind of money.
No, I don't either.
They're looking for bargains, and but there are teams that will. I mean, the Dodgers come to mind, the Yankees.
The Yankees, absolutely. I mean, they still feel like they can get in. They haven't been spending.
I'll tell you what, I don't hate the idea of Snell in that Braves rotation, though. Like if the Padres run low,
that would mind having adding that guy. Because I was talking about a guy coming in being a number three innings eater. I mean, he's much more than that.
Snell's more than that. And while maybe you have to rely on the pen because he doesn't go super deep into games.
Yeah, but he can give you six innings with 10 strikeouts,
and that's a good,
just about every time.
And that's
out.
And that's a good pen that the that the Braves have to maybe go to. That's a that's an interesting player if the Padres decide to wave the white flag this year.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting trade. Well, good show today, guys. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Have a good weekend. Right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon and the week. Still time for you to join in as we wind it down here on the Friday Drive.
Hi, this is Michael from University Ace Hardware. I've worked at University Ace for about 2 years. After studying
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew here. Dan about to pack up and head to Nashville in a few days. All right, so what are you looking forward to?
I mean,
as far as from the participants.
Okay, because I was going to say I'm looking forward to drinking like way more diet.
I know.
Way more Diet Dr. Pepper than any real doctor would ever recommend.
And the
only doctor recommending that is Dr. Pepper.
And one of the few theaters that offers you the opportunity to watch Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah,
its full glory.
May force Jacob to stay and watch a three hour movie with me on Thursday night.
You know, that's probably why it's opening on Thursday night, because they know that the media is leaving. It's like they didn't want to have it there while those.
I feel like people seeing Oppenheimer on Thursday night though are going to be like the nerds in the Barbie party. because everyone's seeing Barbie on it's the same day. Barbie and Oppenheimer open on the same day.
I know.
And Barbie opening nights are just going to be, you know, they're going to look like cocktail parties, and then you're going to have.
Well, yeah.
You're going to have underdressed.
You're not going to dress the same, I wouldn't think, for Oppenheimer as you do
the underdressed and the pale will be going to see the Oppenheimer movie on opening night instead. But no, I'm looking forward to a lot. They've planned a lot of events.
Yeah, they're more than usual there. I mean, it used to be we'd get one sort of the first night there'd be food and there might be some brunch stuff, but there's a lot more, it looks like, this year.
Yeah, there's a there's a party on Monday night at the Bridgestone Arena after the presented by the Predators and the whatever the tourism convention organization is in Nashville.
Oh, I'll tell you who they are. I keep getting things from them after we went to Nashville. I get
the convention and Visitors Corp.
The convention and yes,
convention exactly right. Yeah, the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corp. The Tuesday night they got the party on Broadway presented with the there's a concert. George Benson.
That's a different Broadway.
Little George Benson.
I don't think he was talking about Nashville's Broadway.
The I believe they used that at the beginning of, what's the Bob Fosse movie with the guy from Jaws? All That Jazz. All that jazz opens with an on Broadway with George Benson's on Broadway and a lot of actors and people scuffling to there's a party with a band, Midland. I guess it's a country.
Yeah, I think it is country band.
They're going to be performing a part of a block party, a fan event on Lower Broadway, I believe open to the public.
It is.
So if you're in Nashville on Tuesday, check out the fan event on Broadway. That's going to get started around 6 o'clock, maybe a little earlier, 5 o'clock on the second day, Tuesday. And then Wednesday night, there's a media reception at Nissan Stadium presented by the Tennessee
Titans.
Now,
that would be cool, too.
Yeah, and the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corp as well. So all three nights of media days, there are events presented by the city of Nashville, the local professional sports teams, and the SEC to keep folks busy and engaged. It's also Nashville.
It is Nashville. So there are some things to do.
Yeah, I'm going to lean on some of the more the folks that know Nashville a little bit better than me as far as where to go and where to avoid. But I'm
keep getting things from
it.
The Bluebird telling me who all is going to be playing there too. So
I'm excited. Yeah, I got to find maybe check out a show or two while I'm up there. It's exciting stuff, and this is could be. You know, we don't have the excitement of, oh, it's so-and-so making his debut, right? Because it was a kind of a quiet year for SEC turnover and new coaches.
You have two new coaches. One was because of a planned coaching change. The other one unplanned. And both Mississippi State and Auburn going on the same day, Tuesday.
I'm very interested to see the on the Auburn-Mississippi State day, the snack presented by cities of the SEC. There is apparent. I mean, we've joked about the Auburn lemonade might be brought.
I don't know that Mississippi, I think that's very realistic.
Mississippi State, famous for the on-campus ice cream shop, the Creamery. You wonder if they bring the muscadine flavored ice cream that all the beat writers rave about there. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bill? There's an ice cream shop there on campus that has been around for a while, and I guess there are a couple of flavors that people rave about. So yeah, I'm excited to see what this gathering is looking like, and for folks listening. ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, starting at 11 on Monday with the Max Roundtable, all the way through the end of the drive. We will have coverage all 4 days next week of SEC Media Days, ESPNAU.com, ESPN 106.7. You're not going to want to miss it.
Yeah, be careful on the way up. I'm sure you'll have a great time there. I'm going to be here anchoring. Brian Matthews will be in the studio on Monday, and Drew will be back running the controls as well as Dan beaming in from Nashville. So, yeah, looking forward to that. SEC Media Days when we come back with you. We're out of time, though, for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.